What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Vantage Point Podcast, where we bring insight, keys, and perspective to everyday living through the lens of God. I'm your host, Nick, and so glad you're tuning in for episode 2 of the current series we're in called Reckless. And man, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Whatever platform you're listening on, wherever you're tuning in from in the U.S. and abroad, man, I'm so excited that you found your way to Vantage Point Podcast. And if you've been with us since the beginning, or you've been rolling with us for however many episodes on whatever platform, man, we're so glad you're here. I'm so excited you're here to kick off and then get into this second episode of this series. And man, before we get into that, I definitely encourage you to go check out episode 1, the kickoff episode to this series. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to skip around or anything like that. So I would say just pause this episode, go right back to episode 1. You should see it right before this one, 25, 30 minute tops. And you can come on back and get episode 2. But man, I am super excited and encouraged on this series and just feedback from the first episode. And so I'm hoping as we build this series, ultimately to the series finale, which is Easter, that that, you know, God could just continue to speak to you through the episode. You're able to gain something. You're able to maybe share it with someone. Definitely do those things. I mean, it's so encouraging to have the support. This is actually the 5th year of Vantage Point Podcast. And so we're changing some things up. We're doing some different flows and different ways in a little bit, far as topics and how we're moving through this year. But one thing, just want to kind of give a quick plug. Our summer signature series is not changing. It's getting a little redesign, getting a little redo, but we're still coming back with Persons of Interest Summer Takeover. So the 2024 edition is going to have 9 episodes. So you definitely want to stay tuned in that. That's through the months of June and July. That's where I take a step back and allow various guest hosts to come on and from all different parts and from across the globe. And they're able to just come in, give a word, give a message, whatever is on their heart to share. And so you don't want to miss that. You're going to hear some familiar faces from years past, but you're also going to hear some new and exciting faces. So you want to definitely make sure to tune in and lock in for what's to come for Summer Takeover 2024. But man, let's jump right in to episode 2 of Reckless. And we kicked off this series last episode, and we really focused on, or this series really is focusing on, the love of God, right? We started to talk about there's a song that was has been redone a few times, but it's ultimately talking about the reckless love of God. And we talked about in the first episode just kind of that love and our perspective of it, right? Why do we look at the things that God and the way he loves us and all of those things, and we could consider that reckless, right? And so for episode 2, we're going to look at the same love. We're going to look at his love, but we're going to look at it from his perspective. And we're going to really tackle a question that is often asked and often debated and talked about, right? And really that question is, why does God love us? And you know, when we think about going to get his perspective, right? Of course, we mentioned this in episode 1. You know, we don't fully understand all of God's ways. There's just some things we won't fully ever understand. But one thing and one way that we can gain a level of understanding is going to his word, right? It's going into the Bible and understanding, what is God saying? What is he speaking to us? And specifically about his love for us, right? We can talk about the why, we can talk about all of those things, and we're going to get into that this episode, but it's definitely so important that we have that understanding, because even as you see in this series, right, the next episode 3 and then ultimately episode 4, which is going to come out on Easter, you're going to see the flow of this love and how we have to be able to, you know, not, we have to understand why we have our perspective, but we also have to understand God's perspective on that. And as we do that, and as we unlock that in this episode, I'm hoping that you walk away with a little bit more knowledge than you came with, a little bit more insight, a little bit more vantage point, if you will, when it comes to God's love, because, you know, it's so good to make sure that we understand or have an understanding with regard to his question, to his perspective, excuse me. And when we think about, again, this question, why does God love us, right? It's like, it's a very short question, right? It's five words, right? But it's also one of the most profound questions that can be asked, right? And no human, let's just put it out there, right? No human will really be able to fully answer that question adequately, right? You can ask somebody, you can ask Alexa, you can ask Siri, you can ask your mom. Like, there's so much in that question, right? But one thing, even when it comes to that question, one thing is definitely certain, right? It's that God does not love us because we're lovable or because we deserve his love. Because we talked about that a little bit in episode one, right? When we look at ourselves, right? When we, our perspective of God's love is, why would he love us, right? And we're not fully inaccurate on that, you know, statement, right? Because this has been the state of mankind, right? Since the fall, is one of rebellion and disobedience, right? Jeremiah 17:9 describes man's inner condition. It says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our innermost beings are so corrupted by sin that even we don't realize the extent to which sin has tainted us. In our natural state, we do not see God. We don't love God. We don't desire God in our natural state, right? And even looking at another scripture, Romans 3:10-12, gives us a picture, it paints the picture of this natural, unregenerate person, right? This non-believing person, right? And it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Like, and so when we think about that, when we put that scripture, right, with the understanding of what God's love is, right? And we begin to unfold and we begin to understand. This is where a question like this comes up. Why does God love us? How can it be that this holy, righteous, and perfect God love us? We're tainted, we're broken, we're sin-filled, our hearts are deceitful. Like, how do we even become worthy of that love? And one thing to, when we begin to understand, right, when we begin to understand what his perspective is when it comes to that, we have to understand this. We have to understand that it's wrapped in the nature and character of God, right? And right off the bat, 1 John 4:8-16 tells us this. It says, God is love. And it we could really stop the episode right there. And those three words, because God is love. Like, and that's again another statement, right? He is love. So it's not the fact that God loves us, it's also that he is love. His nature and essence are love. It permeates his very being and it infuses all of his attributes, all that makes God him, even his wrath and anger. Because his nature, his very nature is love, he must demonstrate that love. Just as he demonstrates all the other things that are so amazing about his character and who he is, because doing so, it allows us to see that glorification. It allows us to see him, right? And because he has to demonstrate that, right? And glorifying him, right, is that's the highest, that's the most noble act that we can do, right? And so even in him being love, it's him showing us that he's the highest and he's the best and he deserves that glory. He deserves that recognition. He deserves our praise. He deserves our obedience. He deserves that from us. even though we're not worthy of it, because he is worthy of it, and that's why he deserves it. And since it's his nature to love, he demonstrates this love by lavishing it on us, undeserving people who rebel against him. And God's not, it's not, his love is not a sappy kind of romance, rom-com type of thing. Like, it's not that. We describe love, we describe God's love as agape love, the love of self sacrifice, the unconditional love, the love that has no restraints, the love that has no condition. Again, unconditional, without condition. It's love without constraint. It's love without condition. It's love without we don't have to do anything for God to love us. He already loves us. There's nothing more that we can do to gain more of his love. He loves us. He created us, right? And we're going to get into this, but he demonstrates this love in the most sacrificial way by sending his son, Jesus, to the cross to pay for our sin, drawing us to him and then forgiving us of our rebellion toward him when we are saved. And then he sends the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Spirit, to dwell within us and then enables us to love as he loves. And he did this in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. And Romans 5:8 says it like this. It says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I've heard it said this way by a few pastors. It said, God did all of that for a maybe. He did all of that for a possible. Because again, 7.5 billion people on this planet, and not all of them are Christians. I think the last time I saw the number of people who believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and risen Savior is about 2.5 billion people on this planet. So not even half the people on this planet believe in Jesus Christ. Like, let that sink in for a minute. Roughly 2.5 billion believe in Jesus. So that's another 5 billion people that don't. They could believe in other things. They could believe in nothing. They could be on the fence, a little bit of both. But that's about the number on earth right now. And despite what other people may say, despite what other religions may tell you, Jesus Christ died for every single one of us. Because again, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God's love is also personal, right? It's the fact that he knows us individually. He knitted us, he made us, and he loves us personally. And that love, literally, it's agape. It's unconditional. It has no beginning. It has no end. It's experiencing that love that's what distinguishes all other religions from Christianity. So when we think about the question, why does God love us? It's because it's who he is. God is love. That's who he's is. That's who he's always been. That's who he's always going to be. And as we start to understand his perspective, right? What's in the word? What does it say? And how do we begin to shift our perspective to his perspective, right? How do we begin to see ourselves and understand that we're not worthy of it? But he's willing to give it. He's going to give it to us freely. He's going to give us his love. He loves wherever you are right now. Because I'll be honest with you, a lot of people that listen to Vantage Point are not Christians. You know, I don't have that data, but at least the people that I talk to are not typically like Bible believing Christians that listen to my podcast. And I'm so grateful for that because, you know, it's reaching who it needs to reach. It's going beyond my four walls. I'm literally sitting in my place right now recording this episode, and this will be heard in other countries. This will be heard across the United States. It will be heard and be able to be heard by whomever wants to hear it. And I'm so grateful for that because that's, you're experiencing God's love through this podcast. I don't say only Christians can listen to this or only the, no, I don't care who listens to Vantage Point Podcast, but what you're going to get is godly perspective. I want you to walk away that God and know these things. I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that you have a purpose. I want you to know that you're not here by mistake, right? That I want you to know that whatever you've done or whatever you've been through doesn't define who God is calling you to be, right? And there are things that may need to change and there are things that may need to shift. But at the end of the day, making sure at the very base level, if you don't know anything else, he loves you. And I'll never forget one of my earlier years having someone, and I've shared this on a few episodes, but having someone from the LGBTQ community tell me this is the first time listening to one of my episodes that they have heard someone of a Christian faith tell them that God loved them. They've been told everything else but that. And that meant so much to me. First, it was heartbreaking and gut-wrenching to hear because who are we to tell anyone that God doesn't love them? That means that we fail to understand what his love is. We then make his love conditional. We make his love have restrictions. And I don't know God to have any restrictions when it comes to his love, when it comes to those things. I've never known that. And the more we can begin to let people know that, that should be the first thing we tell people. Man, God loves you. He sees where you're at. He knows what you're going through. But let me share with you a little bit about his perspective when it comes to you. Man, he loves you, right? He has a purpose and a plan for you. You know, he knows the number of hairs on your head, right? He wants to prosper you. He wants to have you reach new heights. He wants you to live this life full of joy and peace and happiness and go forth and do the things that he has planned for you to do. That's what we should be telling people. But we get into this mindset that we don't want to tell people that, right? Because we think that we're not, you know, God can't love them because they went through this, or God can't love them because they are this and believe this. And God still loves them. And it's our job as Christians to make sure that we tell people that. It's our job to make sure that people do that, because we can get very into the mindset, because this is a mindset that used to exist. People would tell other people that God only loved Christians, right? And that's such a, you know, sad thing to say, right? But also on the other side, like, it's also an understanding, like, God's love for everyone doesn't mean everyone will be saved. It doesn't mean that, right? And it's our job to make the introduction. It's not our job to make the transformation. It's not our job to save them. It's our job to introduce them to a Savior that has the ability to save them. And when we start to just share that with people, I think we can really line up his story and his perspective by just sharing simple things with people, like basic practical things about God. And here are just five you can literally tell people, like, God is always present. Like Jesus said this in Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always, right? Paul wrote, God's spirit lives in us, 1 Corinthians 3:16. In the Psalms, David proclaimed, it's impossible to escape God's presence. Like, the creator is not bound by his creation. He's fully present wherever you go, and he's fully present when you call him, right? And his spirit will live inside of us if we accept it, right? And nothing in creation, it says this in Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Do you know how many people walk through this world, through this journey, and they feel unseen? They feel not acknowledged. They think God doesn't see them. They think God doesn't see their hurt. They think God doesn't see their pain. They think God doesn't see who they are. And nothing could be further from the truth, because again, nothing in all creation, nothing is hidden from God's sight. And when you think about that, what could that mean to somebody who's facing hard times? What could that mean to somebody living in poverty or facing a bad situation or somebody who might be suicidal? What could that mean to say, hey, God sees you? And then I see you, and I'm here to tell you that God sees you too. We can share that God is just. Scripture tells us over and over again that God's ways are just. In Psalm 33:5, it says, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. God's holiness and righteousness, it means his judgments are also fair. Right? We see that in the life of Jesus, who confronted Pharisees and who really basically just neglected justice and their lack of generosity toward poor people and things of that nature, right? And because God is just, he insists that his children should strive to make right that which is wrong, right? Learn to do right. Seek justice. The Lord, he told Isaiah this in a vision. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Isaiah 1:17. This gets our heart to work within a bigger effort. We see a bigger picture unfolding as we share this with people. God is just, he's fair, and he wants this for us as well. God is faithful. Man, what a powerful thing to share with someone. God is faithful. At the heart of anything God does in our world is his faithfulness. This means he keeps his promises. And scripture applies those promises to many parts of our lives, from the promises to protect us from temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, to his promise to forgive our sins, 1 John 1:9. His faithfulness is never temporary, but endures forever through all generations, Psalm 119:90. And we have to understand that faithfulness and how God moves and how God works. And then God is good. He's so good. And like the attribute, like love, right? God's goodness is considered one of his just amazing and most important characteristics. Now, they're all important, but his goodness is another level of him that when you experience God's goodness, you really understand what I'm saying, right? And the Bible talks about this trait in many ways, right? It uses words like kindness, compassion, gracious. When he's talking to the rich young ruler, he called Jesus good teacher, and Jesus replied that no one was truly good except God alone. That was in Mark 10:18. And when we reflect on that, even in Psalm 34:8, the psalmist says, "In taste and see that the Lord is good." God is such a source of goodness that we get to experience that day in and day out. For those that embrace his perspective and his love, you get to experience that goodness day in and day out. And God is sovereign. That's another one. And yes, that's a big word, right? But the idea behind it, that God is in control and nothing in our lives happens outside his knowledge or permission. And that should bring comfort when you hear that nothing is happening outside of his knowledge or permission. Nothing surprises God that we go through. Nothing is there, that he's just shocked that we're going through it, right? And we have to understand that it's with God that we can rest, knowing that the power that he has, knowing that the things that he's done, the things that he's doing in our lives, and that love is unfailing. Like, it's hard for adults to wrap our minds around God's attributes and trying to teach them, right? And really, the best teacher for us when it comes to his attributes are our experience. What could you think of that God has shown you his perspective on his love, where he's shown you the attributes of his faithfulness, where he's shown you the attributes of his goodness, his fairness, his just nature, his sovereignty, his goodness, his graciousness, his compassion? When are those moments? Do you have a moment? Like, I want you to just take a moment as we get ready to close out this episode. Just take a moment and think about love. Think about the fact that we have a God whose love is unfailing, that we have a God who is informed and he understands everything we do as believers. And I want you to think about a moment that you've experienced one of these attributes of God, that you've experienced his sovereignty, you've experienced his goodness, his faithfulness, his just, his presence. You've felt it. That's his perspective on his love. And any time that we get into a space where our perspective outweighs those things, we need to come back to his goodness. We need to come back to his faithfulness. We need to come back to his sovereignty. We need to come back to his justness. We need to come back to those moments that outline and show us just exactly who God is. Because when we do that, we're able to not only begin to see his love from his perspective, but we start to cancel out our perspective. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for being able to come and speak on your word, Father, and talk through the things and really begin to understand your perspective and how you operate in love, Father God. We thank you for being a good Father. We thank you for being faithful. We thank you for being good to us, Father God. We thank you for being present in our lives. We thank you for being all the things that you are, and even the things I didn't list, Father God. We just thank you for your unfailing love, Father God, your presence, all of the things that you do, that you are to us, Father God, in love. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Vantage Point Podcast. We're going to kick this thing off again here in just a little bit with episode 3. And you don't want to miss that. We're going to be coming from a different angle. We're still about his love. We're still in Reckless, but we're going to come from the perspective of our sacrifice as we keep moving forward toward Easter, man. Again, I thank you all so much for tuning in. And as always, keep seeking insight, keys, and perspective to everyday living through the lens of God. It'll change your world and your life. God bless.